Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that we can be together and gather around your word. And we pray that as we do this, you'd be at work in us by your Spirit, so that we would behold wonderful things in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a handout, and if you haven't downloaded it, it's probably too late to do that now, but if you're here in person, then do download one and bring it with you before you come, so you can scribble notes. If you're at home, download it before you turn onto YouTube in the morning. Again, you can scribble notes on there, and then you can have something to help you remember what we've been talking about and chat about it with your family afterwards. One of the things that has surprised me with coronavirus is how little I've seen of any government advertising. Now, I'm not trying to make a political point here. It's probably more about the things I watch, the social media I use. But I just haven't seen much of it. I know they've got adverts. I haven't seen them. Maybe you have? Who knows? But marketing is an important thing, isn't it? And it's a feature of our modern lives. There's marketing all over the place, whether you're a trainer, manufacturer, or an organiser of a movement, or whether you have an online shopping site. You want to do marketing. You want to get your message out there so that people know what it is you're doing, what's going on. And Jesus understood marketing and the need for marketing. Hello. Right. Jesus understood marketing and the need for marketing. Here in our passage today, he sends 12 out. Later on in Luke's Gospel, he's going to send 72 out. And then at the end of the book, he tells them that they're going to go to all the nations. So you're going to need more, even more than 72 for that. And this comes all the way down through the ages to us. And we also are in that crowd of people who go out with the message of Jesus. And in the passage today, we are going to see what you've already seen, that the greatness of Jesus is public truth that we need to proclaim. The greatness of Jesus is public truth that we need to proclaim. But before we dive into that, I want us just to see Luke's pointers. And this is going to be the same for all of our Luke sermons, so I won't keep repeating it very much. But there are two particular things at the beginning of Luke's Gospel that are important as we read through all of it. So the first is the opening few verses, chapter 1, 1 to 4. And Luke, he's the writer of the Gospel, a man called Luke. He went around with the Apostle Paul, and we hear about him in the book of Acts. Paul mentions him in Colossians 4, verse 14, and tells us he's a doctor, a physician. And he didn't witness Jesus personally, but heard the testimony of those who did. And he tells us here that he's writing for a specific audience, and that audience is someone called Theophilus. And he says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind," says Luke, "since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus." Well, Theophilus is a name meaning God lover, and it may be that there was a specific wealthy individual who was sponsoring Luke to do this, or it might be that's a generic name he's using to indicate anyone who happens to read his work. Now, why would he do this? Why would he gather together these eyewitness accounts and write an orderly account? Well, he tells us in the next verse. "So that you, Theophilus, you, the reader, may know the certainty of the things you've been taught." The whole point of the book is to convince us about that the stuff about Jesus is true, that it's got testimony, evidence behind it. So as we read through his book, we need to bear that in mind. Luke is giving us evidence so that we can know that what we've heard about Jesus is true and so that we can believe in him. So that's one of Luke's pointers. The second one is about Jesus' mission. And this comes in chapter 4. Jesus, in Luke's Gospel, we have the account of Jesus' birth. And we have a genealogy telling us about his descendants. No, ancestors, that's the one. We're his descendants. We hear about his testing in the wilderness. And then he goes to Nazareth, to their synagogue. And he stands up and opens up the prophet Isaiah, the scroll. And he says these words, chapter 4, 17. the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. Jesus is quoting Isaiah, chapter 61, about himself. He's the one who's got the Spirit of the Lord on him. He's the one who's proclaiming good news to the poor. God's Messiah is Jesus. God himself has come and is intervening in his world. And Luke is going to give us, from this point onwards, evidence of that. And as we read through Luke's Gospel, we're to remember these two passages. They ring in the back of our heads as we read. And in our passage alone, we have seen so much of this messianic prophecy fulfilled. In chapter 8, if you just read the chapter before our passage, so much is going on in chapter 8. It starts with his teaching. There's this authority in teaching, the parable of the sower. There's his authority over nature as he calms the storm, over demons with the man with many demons who are all cast out, over sickness with the woman who's healed, as he goes to show his authority over death with Jairus' daughter that we saw about last week. This is Jesus fulfilling that passage. And now, today, in chapter 9, verse 1 to 9, more people are going to see about Jesus' greatness. More people are going to see Jesus' authority and power. More people are going to see this passage fulfilled, so that we now, reading it, can know the certainty of the things that we've heard about Jesus. Well, let's dive in and have a look at chapter 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. Now, it's not just Jesus then who is going to heal the sick and preach the good news from this point. He's going to have a bigger impact on Galilee, where they are, because he's going to send out his 12 disciples to do the same. Now, the question often comes when we read this: what about us today? Are we given power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases? Is that something that Christians have in the 21st century? Well, Christians today are called to care for and pray for the sick. But we're not given authority to heal. And how do we know that? Well, because otherwise it would be happening, wouldn't it? All over the place, all the time. We'd be doing what these apostles were doing. No, they're special people. And the sad thing is that there are people around today who say that, yes, all you have to do is pray with enough faith and you'll be healed. And what does that do? Absolutely nothing, except bring a massive guilt trip on the person who isn't healed, because they then think they don't have enough faith. So we do care and pray for the sick. And maybe God will heal in answer to prayer. But we cannot guarantee that. Christians today do still proclaim the kingdom. And at the end of this book, at the beginning of Acts, we can see that is something that Jesus has given to his followers to do. He's very clear about that. We are to proclaim the kingdom of God, just as they were to proclaim the kingdom of God, verse 2. What is the kingdom of God? Remember that little phrase we've learned? God's people in God's place, under God's rule and blessing. God's people in God's place, under God's rule and blessing. Jesus brings that plan to fulfillment and makes it possible through his death and resurrection. He opens the gateway so that we can come into God's family and be God's people. We can be in his place today, knowing Jesus, and one day in the new creation. And we can live under his rule and blessing instead of being rejected by God as worthy only of his judgment. So Jesus makes it possible. And so we've got a message, just as they did, to say to people, come on in, enter the kingdom. Turn around from going your own way and making yourself your own little God. Turn and trust. Trust in Jesus as the one who's died on the cross for you in your place, to take away everything that's wrong in your life before God. And he now lives through his resurrection, so we can have life with God, with the Holy Spirit with us. Though this is the message that they have. Obviously, we have it in more detail now, because we know that Jesus had died and risen. But they, too, were inviting people to come to the kingdom of God. Well, how are they to live while they're out on mission? Verses 3 and 4. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. It's going to be a simple lifestyle for them as they go around Galilee with this message. They're going to be trusting God to provide for them and the people who receive them with their hospitality. Their prayer is going to be, give us today our daily bread. That's what they're going to pray each day. They're not going to take big payments. It'd be tempting, wouldn't it, as they go into a village and heal people and have this great message about coming to the kingdom. People would want to give them money because that's the kind of thing you'd do. And they would say, no. Just feed us, send us on our way in peace. And all the glory will go to Jesus because of that. It's the same today with Christian ministry, isn't it? We're not crying out for money so that we can have big cars and things. We should have a simple lifestyle and give it all the glory to Jesus. How will the mission go down? Verse 5. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. It's crazy but true. They will be rejected by some people as they go around Galilee. They're going to go to a village and say, look, bring your sick, we'll hear them. Come and hear the great message about Jesus and hear about the kingdom of God. And that village is going to go, no thanks. Bonkers, isn't it? Absolutely bonkers. So, how do they get on? Well, verse 6, they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. It went really well. Now, Herod the Tetrarch heard about all this, all that was going on. So it went really, really well. The news spread. And he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I've heard John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. Well, it went really well, this mission. It got noticed. People all over the place were wondering who Jesus is, including those at the top, Herod. Was he John the Baptist, who previously had gathered crowds to him around the River Jordan and baptised people? Was it Elijah, one of the great big Old Testament prophets, the great heroes of the faith? Was it one of the other prophets, the other Bible heroes? It's a bit like the Masked Singer. Have you seen that on telly? The Masked Singer? Various celebrities, singers, are disguised with amazing disguises, and they sing, and you've got to try and work out who they are. So is it CeeLo Green, Catherine Jenkins? Is it, I haven't watched it, so I've got to look at my notes. Denise Van Houten, Nicola Roberts. Who is it? You know, you've got to guess. Who is this person? And here, they're saying this, same thing. Who is this person? We can see these things. And we're getting these clues. Who is it? Well, what does this all mean for us? It is about the greatness of Jesus. The greatness of Jesus is public truth that we need to proclaim. This is what Jesus' Galilean marketing exercise teaches us today. It's about the greatness of Jesus. I wonder how convinced you are about the greatness of Jesus. If you had a wall chart in your bedroom of great people in your life, where would Jesus be on the chart? Would he be right at the top? So that because you honour and worship and follow and listen to him, or somewhere in the middle with a bunch of other people. Think about Luke's pointers. So he sets off saying that he wants you to be sure about Jesus. Here we see his power and authority exercised through his disciples. Who could have this kind of power? The good news is preached to the poor. The year of the Lord's favour is proclaimed. That synagogue sermon in Luke chapter 4 is being fulfilled. He wants you to be sure. And who is it that gives out this power and authority? Have a look at verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority. Who is it that Herod wants to see and is amazed at after these 12 people go out into Galilee? It's not Peter or James or John, is it? It's Jesus. He knows it's coming from him. Only God can do this. Only God can give that authority. It's Jesus who must be, well, they haven't quite worked it out yet. He's better than a politician. He's better than a celebrity. He's better than a magician. It could only be, couldn't it, that he is God on earth with the good news of his kingdom. This is about the greatness of Jesus. And if you're here today, or if you're watching, and you're not sure that he should be at the top of your list, you need to read this and think really hard. He's greater than any other human. He's greater than any other being. He is the Son of God, on a par with the Father and the Spirit, I should say. So it's about the greatness of Jesus. It's also telling us that public truth, which is what Jesus is, public truth isn't hidden away. See, maybe you think Jesus is a private thing. Religion is a private affair and should be kept that way, said Colonel Bufton from Tunbridge Wells. And Jesus would strongly disagree. Jesus wants everyone to hear about him. There are some things that are so important that have got to be out in the open, haven't they? So imagine that some wonderful biochemistry company got a cure for COVID that worked without side effects. And what they decide to do is to put it on their website at £10,000 a shot. How would you feel about that? We'd be up in arms, wouldn't we? We'd be outraged by that. If there's a cure for COVID, we want everyone to have it. It's so important. It's got to be out there in the open. And the truth about Jesus is like this. Jesus' greatness, the kingdom, the gospel. This is public truth. It's true for all. It works for all. It's needed by everybody. And it's worth hearing about for everybody. Public truth is not hidden away. So it's about the greatness of Jesus. Public truth isn't hidden away. And what else do we discover? We discover that Jesus wants his followers to proclaim him. Jesus wants his followers to proclaim him. I wonder who you think is supposed to pass on the message of Jesus to other people. Who's supposed to do that? If it's just me, then there's not enough people, is it? Because there's a whole load of people. It's all of us, isn't it? And here, Jesus equips his disciples to do it. They're not even halfway into his ministry, but he's sending them out to start to get them ready. We discover that in that ministry, simplicity is the lifestyle. It's not all crowded in by wealth and money and worries about that. We discover that rejection is part of the picture. And we know that, don't we, if we've ever tried to talk about Jesus with friends or family. But Jesus wants his followers to proclaim him. And he equips us today, as his followers, to do that and be part of that picture. He inspires us. He gives us opportunities. He helps us work together. He works in our circumstances at work and at home with our friends. He works in people's hearts. Does he want you to be involved? Has he got people that you know that he wants to hear the good news? Is he great and worth it, however difficult it might be, how much hassle it might bring? Yes, Jesus wants his followers to proclaim him. Well, perhaps the government is not good at advertising COVID. I don't know. Maybe they are. What about us with Jesus? The greatness of Jesus is public truth that we need to proclaim. Will you pray that he would inspire you? That he would give you opportunities? That he would help you work together with other believers? That he would work in your circumstances at home, in the office, online, on Zoom. That he'd work in people's hearts so that we can help people to know Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is great. And there is no greater that we can think of. Thank you that all that he's done in his death on the cross, his resurrection, all that we know about him through your word, is truth for everyone, true for each person, true in their circumstances. And thank you for calling us to be part of sharing this wonderful good news, this great joy of knowing the Saviour and Judge of all, and being able to proclaim him with our lives, and know that through him we are right with you and will see you one day. In Jesus' name, Amen.